Welcome to the Waveguides Podcast, home of the South Cars TNT Open Forum.
Welcome, everyone, and good evening, everyone everywhere. Once again, thank you for taking your time to join us during the TNT Open Forum, presented each and every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 2300 Zulu. We sure hope that your day has been to your liking, and we sure are delighted that you have joined our net this evening. So just get comfortable. Sit back, relax, and most of all, just have some fun. We know you will enjoy this evening's net. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This TNT open forum is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. We ask that you check that regularly for any new and up-to-date information. Your moderators for this session are twofold. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathy. I'm located in the city of Vero Beach, Florida, about 10 minutes from the Atlantic coast. I'm going to call on my co-host this evening, who is KY6V Gordon, and see what his weather and temps in his area are. So KY6V, are you listening? Hopefully you are, and are you ready? Tell us about your temperature.
I am. Good evening, Kathy. Good evening to all. Gordon here, KY6V, reporting for duty.
Well, once again, thank you for helping me this evening host the TNT. I appreciate it so much. I do want to say happy birthday to both Dennis, that's KB9RRN, his birthday, I believe, was October 12th, and Jack, K4JAK, his birthday is October 18th. Doesn't seem that they're connected this evening, but maybe they're listening in the background. So happy, happy birthday. I do want to welcome some stations who are coming from a long distance, and that's Ricky from Indonesia and Sal from Italy. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining our program this evening, and I hope you enjoy. So once again, everyone, I want to put out a welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining our TNT this evening. Our subject this evening is a discussion on the meaning and the use of some of the popular ham terms referred to as ham jargon. Some of these terms date back to the start of the hobby, but many evolved through the years as our hobby grew and new techniques and modes of operation started to appear. We think this will be a fun program, as the old-timers will most likely enjoy hearing some of the older sayings. And the new hams, which is myself, amongst us, should also enjoy learning about some of these terms. So, at this point, I am going again to pass the podium to KY6V, my co-host Gordon, to begin our program. And Gordon, when you're ready, just throw the program back my way. And thanks once again for being my co-host. And this is becoming a very pleasant experience for me. Since I am a new ham and you are one of those old timers that we talked about above, I'm looking forward to learning some of this new jargon. So with all of this said, Gordon, the floor is yours.
Oh my, I don't know how to take that, Kathy. But thank you very much. The old timer, as far as I'm concerned, is you've just been looking at my feet. You'll probably find the moss down there. Guys and gals, as Kathy has indicated, we're going to be talking about ham jargon tonight. Some of it sort of new on the scene, some as old as Marconi when he first flew the first signal, if you will. We're just going to take some of these jargons, some of these sayings. We're going to throw them out and see who would like to give us your opinion as to what they mean. And then we'll just sort of compare that to the material that we've put together, and we'll hash it out and then move on to another saying. Now, Kathy and I will be taking about three of these in groups of three. I'll handle the first three. She'll pick up another three, and we'll just parley this and have some fun. The first question to be presented is, what is the meaning of a zero that has a slash through it?
One India. Slash zero. Oh, gosh. I don't know if this has to do with ham radio in particular or what you're looking for here, but I mean, in my experience and my work, I use slash zeros really just to distinguish zeros from the letter O, especially with some questionable handwriting sometimes. And we do the same things with the number 7, the letter Z, where the letter Z could be mistaken for an S or a 2. Well, not an S, but for a 2. So that'd be my answer, and I use it quite often, and that's how I do it, and that's why I do it. So back to you, KY6WQ1.
Thank you, Paul. Well, you're right on, sir. All of these sayings that we'll be discussing tonight are related to amateur radio. And that's to differentiate, as you said, an actual zero to an O. You know, I think you've probably noticed, I've noticed that some of our newer people coming on into the hobby, when they reiterate somebody's call sign, will say W-O something 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 as opposed to W-0, and that's just because of the lack of understanding of how things are spread out here in the United States, I guess. All right, guys and gals, I'm going to go on to the second one here. This is an easy one. You hear it all the time. I think that I've heard several impressions of what it really basically means, but it is the numbers 73. 73. Well, we'll just roll right by it. It means best regards is the basic statement for 73s. But, you know, it gets embellishment from time to time. It says 73s, this is really the end of my transmission. Appreciated the contact. Have a good day. Best wishes. Best regards, etc., etc. All right, I'm going to go on to the third one that I have. And, Kathy, please stand by, because after this is parlayed, I'm going to send it in your direction. And the saying is 807. 807. 807. And I'm looking for an answer here that doesn't tell me that it's a vacuum tube that was very popular in the years gone by. There's a second reason for using that term, and I'll give you a hint. Somebody says, I'm going to go out in the kitchen and get an 807. So anybody want to offer some thoughts on that? Suffixes only, and call now, please.
One India. Well, Gordon, you know, I laid off at a 73 figuring somebody else would come in here, and I didn't realize it was just going to be you, Kathy, and I tonight. But 807, well, this is another good reason to listen to the South Cars outreach programs, not only if you're trying to upgrade in your license class, but you also get to learn a whole bunch of other interesting facts and trivia during the course of those courses. And Gordon, I learned this from you not too long ago. And an 807 indeed was a vacuum tube, which apparently resembled the shape of a beer bottle. So if you're heading to the kitchen for an 807, you're going to go get something to wet your whistle, I'd say. WQ1I.
You got it, Tiger. That's exactly it. The 807 was an RF amplifier tube, very substantial, well-built, and used in an awful lot of applications back in the early days. When I say the early days, it probably got popular in late 40s to early 50s. According to our friends over in Ireland, I might point out, a pint of Guinness is known as a black 807. And although this question doesn't address it, I will throw in just for humor that an 813, which is another power amplifier, is hard liquor, guys. That's the scotch and the bourbon and the you name it. Kathy, your turn.
Thank you for those three ham jargon. One of them actually was new to me, the 807 with beer. I don't drink beer, so maybe I didn't know that. So my first jargon is 88, and I know everyone knows what 88 is. It's a very daring term. So anyone out there have an answer that would like to come aboard?
X-ray Oscar. Good evening, Kathy, and everyone else on this conference. This is YB7 X-ray Oscar from Central Indonesia. Okay, 88 means love and kisses, Miss Kathy. That's what I know. And I usually use this jargon on voice or CW to a YL station. But there's a question I've been meaning to ask you or KY6V. The reason behind these numbers, you know, 73, 88, why not 1 or 2 or 100? Why pick those numbers, 73 and 88? Back to you.
That's a great question, Ricky. I'm going to call on KY6V, my host, who is, and I won't say old-timer again, but KY6V, you've been in ham radio a lot longer than I have, so maybe you have an answer for Ricky.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and good evening, Ricky. Gordon here, KY6V. To be honest with you, I don't have the foggiest idea. But I'll give you a little background on this. A lot of these sayings that we use on voice today originated on CW and were shortcuts to cut down the amount of characters that you were sending for a particular passage in the sentence that you were sending with code. I'll give you some examples. Thank you is just abbreviated TXS or TKS, meaning thanks. 73s was an enduring term to say thank you and best regards at the end of a transmission. 88, you already know, hugs and kisses, loves and kisses, whatever you put it into, was an abbreviation used on CW and carried on into the voice realm as amplitude modulation and then single sideband modulation and so on became in vogue. Does that make any sense, Ricky? And thanks for being with us tonight. Over.
Oh, thank you for the explanation, sir. Okay, so it's a sort of abbreviation for best regards, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, something like that. Okay, understood, sir. Back to you.
Hey, I see you're a CW man. Great on that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da from KY6V. Go ahead, Kathy.
Very interesting, gentlemen, and that sort of brings back when you did the Morse code, Gordon, and hopefully I can become involved in that again so I can learn a little more, because I had planned to spend my summer doing that, and things got away with me with my son's wedding and all. But nice to hear that, Ricky and Gordon, both of you. So with that, I'm going to head to the next jargon, and it's called antenna party. So, you know, and I know George, who is very silent this evening, is doing things with antenna, but I'm sure that's not a party. But is anyone out there, you have a clue on what the antenna party, what the jargon means?
One India.
KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, on the side.
Well, thank you, George. I thought maybe you were up in that tree. I saw a picture of you up in that tree, and maybe you can explain that to me a little bit later, or to the rest of us. But be with you in just a moment. But Paul, come aboard. Tell us what your definition or what you think antenna party means. And it's so nice to have you here this evening.
Well, good evening, Kathy. Nice to chat with you tonight, too. George, good to hear you in there. Listen, Kathy, since I've been flapping my jaws all evening here so far, I'm going to defer to the gentleman from Florida and let my buddy George get in there. Let him go first. You can come back to me and see if I have any comments after he's said his piece. But George is an old-time antenna man. I'm sure he knows what an antenna party is. And let's let him go first, and then I'll come in. WQ1I.
You know, every once in a while I'll come up with a brainstorm. So I decided it's time to put up a new tower there. So trying to keep it out of a plain sight. I decided to put it at the base of a big oak tree and run it straight up to the center of that oak tree so the limbs surround the tower. And that's what you were seeing there. I the picture where I was, I think, 40 feet up, and I was pulling up another stick of tower, which is a 10-foot length of tower, you know, and going up to the center of the tree. After everything is said and done, I should be sticking out 30 to 40 feet above the top of that oak tree. But and there are easier ways to do it there. You know, some folks use a gen pole, which is a piece of pipe with which your rope goes through the pipe, and on the top of that pipe there is a roller or some type of old great day a block, so to speak. But that rope passes over that roller, and one end gets tied to the section of a tower, and yeah, like I said, one end goes straight to the ground, and you got a guy on the ground pulling that rope straight down, and as he's pulling it straight down, that section is being hoisted up. But being a one-man operation, I climb, and once I get as far as I can go, I'll pull a 10-foot section up and stack it. But, you know, antenna party, once you've got that tower up, or even, you know, while you're stacking a tower there, you know, it's a group of people get together that, you know, some does this and some does that, and, I've seen some of them parties last for 2 and 3 days. I mean, that's after the antennas went up and the towers up and all. But you get the right kind of people to work with you, and I tell you what, you can knock your shingles off a roof in a hurry. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Okay, George, I was wondering if you had any help. I saw you in the middle of the tree, and I've seen you before. I've seen you climb towers, and I've seen you put them up by yourself. And
oh, my goodness gracious, Kathy, after 62 years, there's been an awful lot of parties. George, I just wanted to say I looked very carefully at the last picture that you sent me this evening, and I said, man, you know, as long as you and I have been doing things like this, and I realized that you were running solo, but the picture that I looked at is you had a rope on this 10-foot section that you were hoisting to whatever level you were, 40 or 50 feet in the air, I suppose. And I could see the tower section that was being raised starting to go into the horizontal plane. And I said, here comes the fun, George. Did you have to swing that with a lot of vigor back and forth until it got vertical so you could get it up through the branches? Over.
Well, sir, I did catch it in the side of the tower as it was coming up there. But I soon got that straightened out. But as you could tell in the photo there, that it was coming up pretty good. The tricky part is once you get it pulled up, you've got your rope tied about 2 to 3 foot, just a little above center, so you got the weight coming down. Then you've got that 4 foot of or so of a tower that you have to hoist up over your head, and you've got to center them three legs on the existing three legs and have it slip down so you can put the bolts. The trick is to be able to line them boogers up, and that's 10 foot of tower over your head trying to line up, and it takes total concentration. You can't have anybody talking to you or distracting you, because like I said, when you are trying to balance 10 foot of a steel above your head and make it go down, but when you do that 10 times, well, the first section can't count that because that's pretty much at ground level, but when you do that 9 times there, when you get done, it's time for a party. And I mean, it's time for a good party. Like you said, a keg of beer, hamburgers or steaks on the grill, and just kick back. And just like Bike Week coming up, in fact, it started today, Oktoberfest here in Daytona. It's time to get down and boogie. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, thank you for that, George. KY6V here. You know, I've done that a couple of times, but I'm not comfortable with it. You're standing up there trying to balance those that 10-foot thing over your head and get those three pivot points seated. I much prefer to have a gin pole holding up that top while I'm massaging the bottom. Over to you, Kathy, KY6V.
Nice comment. George and Gordon, thank you so much. WQ1I, can you come aboard?
Well, thanks, Kathy. No. I have never climbed a tower. And the closest I've come to anything like that was when I was doing electrical work, hauling up great big 500 MCM cables, 4 of them at a time, for big service for a school building in Philadelphia, hauling that thing up this little 20-foot ladder, little by comparison to a tower, and feeding that thing down into a 4-inch pipe. So, but I was getting paid for that. But I could never tell anything as colorfully as George does. Back to you, Kathy, WQ1I.
The next topic I have is barefoot, and I, you know, this is something I love to do all the time, is go barefoot, and I'm sure that's not what it means. Tell us what barefoot means.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Victor, Quebec, Victor.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen. I have LCB and I have VQV. George, tell me, what does it mean?
Well, Kathy, they told me, at least Mama told me, I was barefooted when I was born. So I guess that's what I, you know, why I do what I do there, you know, as far as the towers, antennas, and all. I use what I have, you know, without getting extras. So I'll lay it at that and let someone else fine tune it there. But basically, you know, it's what your radio has without any extra stuff there. I could go into a little bit more, but since I just finished fluttering my lips, I'm going to give somebody else a chance.
Kathy, Good evening. How are you? KB3, Victor, Quebec Victor here, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I missed the start of the net, I guess, here tonight because I was watching Jeopardy. And I thought, if barefoot was the answer, what kind of a question could you say? And the only thing that came to my mind was, because I used to love to go barefoot, but I cut my toes and I stubbed them and walked over, you know, biting critters. So I would guess the question would be, and the correct answer would be, what is barefoot? You would say, what did people used to do before someone invented the flip-flop shoe? Back to you, Kathy, KD3BTV.
Well, Chris, you've got me laughing about the flip-flop shoes and the sandals. But the answer I have versus going with sandals and flip-flops is it refers to running your transmitter without an amplifier. In other words, power out is being produced entirely by the transmitter without any assistance from an amplifier. KY6V, are you listening there and are you ready?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Kathy. KY6V here. Good evening, Chris. Nice to have you aboard. Kathy, your answer is right on. You know, it's normally, let's say you're running an HF station and you have a transceiver, and that transceiver normally has a capability of producing about 100 watts. You can feed that 100 watts into an amplifier and run your power clear up to the legal limit if you want of 1500 watts PEP. But when you don't have that amplifier and you're running solo with just a transceiver, it's called the barefooted operation in slang terminology. All right, I'm going on with the three questions that I have in front of me, and I'm working on a script here provided by Kathy. So the first is birdie, and that's spelled B-I-R-D-I-E. What does it mean in ham jargon? This is a little bit on the technical side of our hobby. And I'm not talking about Tweety Bird or anybody like that. Anybody have a thought on that matter, please? Suffixes only, and call KY6V. Over.
KY6V, WKD. Good evening, sir. Good evening, Kathy and George and Paul and everyone else. I don't know the answer to birdie. That's the only one so far I haven't known. I assume it has something to do with accuracy. I do know what a boat anchor is, and I knew the other one. I've forgotten what it was already. But I want to go back to, let me ask you a question, Gordon. I think of barefoot as being 100 watts because that's most, 90-something percent of transceivers that people have. But there's some that put out 200 watts. Would it be fair to announce yourself as running barefoot if you're at a 200-watt transceiver? And I want to go back to a antenna party. And let me let it drop a second. Okay. Here in my part of North Carolina, antenna parties could be going over to somebody's QTH and raising a dipole or any kind of antenna. Somebody usually has a potato launcher or something like that, and nobody knows how to work it. And that's usually a disaster, and the 807 cooler opens up too soon, and it's really chaos. And when I was not walking, I had quite a number of hams offer to have an antenna raising or an antenna party at my house, and I declined, Gordon. So with all of that, back to you, sir. Yes, it's enjoying the net tonight.
I think I probably should have been taking better notes than I did here, Jim. I'm not sure I'm going to cover everything at one sling. First of all, no, you know, it's a low percentage of those HF transistors that can run 200 watts. I think that it's generally accepted, at least in my opinion, that they are barefooted radios. You know, you're talking alpha amplifiers, Amatron amplifiers with 8877s in them that can run 3 or 4 kW, even though you're only licensed by regulation to run 1500 watts. That's when you put your shoes on. I've had an awful lot of antenna parties, Jim. You normally solicit a crew that you know their capabilities, you know their strengths, and you know their weaknesses. You become friends through the years. You know who to call on for an antenna party job that needs to be done and done correctly. And drinking and raising in a 100-foot tower is not the time to do it. Yeah, well, it's awfully important. You know, you can get in Hertzville in a big hurry. All right, let's go back to birdie. I don't want to hold up the net. The word birdie in amateur lingo is a signal produced within a radio, typically by its microprocessor or related circuitry, that appears at specific intervals across the tuning dial of your receiver. It usually is a product of a mixed intermediate frequency with the radio itself, and it's considered bad form. It's annoying, and it's just a technical complication that can be fixed, and that is the word birdie that we're referring here to tonight. All right, the next one is a boat anchor. Now, come on, guys. You know what a boat anchor is? And I'm relating this to amateur radio. I'm not talking a Danforth or a Navy anchor thrown off the bow of a vessel.
Yeah, Gordon, boat anchors, they're old radios. Old, big, heavy, vacuum tube radios.
Right on, Paul. Thank you very much. You know, besides the fact they had the added weight of tubes as opposed to transistors, they were normally built with their own internal power supplies. You didn't have a separate power supply on the floor or in the back of your operating table, such as we use today to supply 12 volts to a lot of our systems. And it got the terminology of boat anchor because of its weight. And it'd hold a boat, I'm sure, in place under reasonable seas anyway. What does a brass pounder mean to you? KY6V for the TNT. Suffix only, please, and call now.
YV7XO, so would like to comment.
But I am proud to say that I am a brass pounder. And a brass pounder, of course, is a CW operator. And so called because of brass keys that people used to use, particularly brass straight keys. And you'd be pounding brass, sending out the code. But I am curious about QLF. Back to you, WQ1I.
Well, you're right on, Paul. And I know that Ricky will expound on that as well. I don't think that if you look up a listing of Q signals, that you'll find QLF, maybe, if the guys were humorous enough to add it. It's a Q signal used for CW operators, and it stands for try sending with your left foot. Paul, over. Ricky? Over there in Indonesia, and please come aboard. Over.
Yes, sir. From YB7X3 Oscar. Yeah, I'd like to... Actually, I 100% agree with WQ1I comments on brass pounders, who apparently in the past, using hand key with the brass as the contact point, something like that. These days, I very much using electronic key, the iambic paddle. It's a lot of comfortable for rack chewing in TW. So that's about it, sir. KY6V, YB7XO, over.
Thank you very much for that, Ricky. KY6V here for South Cars. In the old days, whether they were using a straight key or a vibraplex, each had their own personality. They had their own mannerisms. And you could tune through the band and you say, well, there's Joe and there's Pete and there's Paul and, you know, so on and so forth, before they even identified. The problem with the embodic keyers and the keyer systems that we have today, it is so precise that that personality has left the world.
So let me go on from here. Does anyone know what bug means besides those little things that fly around and cause problems? It's a mechanical keying device for transmitting Morse code semi-automatically. So those who know Morse code should have known this answer. So the next one I have is CTSCSS. What do those letters mean?
Let me jump in on this one, Kathy. Six vector. This is a saying that everybody should really get familiar with, particularly those that are operating with any regularity with VHF and UHF type communication. CTCSS stands for Continuous Tone Coded Squelch System. Now, what this simply means is that the transmitting station has to produce a tone that will open up, and it's a subaudible tone. It's not an annoying thing at all. Subaudible. They interject that on their transmitter, and it is received at the receiving point and opens up the squelch so that station can be heard. If a station is not using the particular tone under the CTCSS, Continuous Tone Coded Squelch System, they will never open up the receiver, and if it's a repeater, they will not be heard by anybody. A very healthy and a very good system that protects a lot of other problems happening in states of propagation and annoying other close frequencies that may try to open up your receiver. It puts a lock on the door, and if you don't know the combination, you don't get in. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V.
All right, thank you, KY6V. So the next one I have is DTMF, and I'll give you the wording of it, dual tone multiple frequency.
KY6V, DTMF, dual tone multiple frequencies. It's as simple as this, guys and gals. Do you remember the old dial telephones? Those were pulse-type devices. And then they came out with this brand spanking new telephone, and it had all these buttons on. All you had to do was push the button. Well, every time you push a button, it produces two tones simultaneously, and those tones are different for each button on the phone. Okay, so amateur radio picked this up too, and they put a DTMF push button system on your microphone, your handheld microphone, like your mobiles, where you can send coded signals for whatever reason that you need to the repeater, or dial up a phone patch and make a telephone call. That's what it is. DTMF stands for dual tone multiple frequencies. It's a group of keys, a group of frequencies that are different for each of the keys on a normal keypad or a normal push button telephone. And that's how it works. Kathy, KY6V, over. And somebody just used a DTMF.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Our next, and this is pretty much the end of my three sessions, but the next ones are yours, Gordon, KY6V.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, I'll tell you what, I would like to suggest to allow me to handle the next three jargon questions here. And I would like to hear from the audience what the term DX, Delta X-ray, means to you, please.
One India. Okay, Gordon. Well, I figured I would, wait for somebody else to come in there, but nobody does, so I figured I'd jump in. But I'll take the first one, DXCC, which is the DX Century Club, which is an award you can get when you've made 100 DX contacts to officially verified and registered DXCC countries. So back to you, WQNI.
All right, thank you, Paul. Well, actually, the first one was just DX. Second one was DXCC that you just covered. And DX Expedition. So let's take these as a covey of three. Your answer is absolutely correct on the DXCC. You want to cover just the term DX and DX Expedition at the same time, Paul, before I move to Susie? Over.
Well, thank you, Gordon, and thank you, Paul, for letting me answer this question myself. I am an avid DX person. DX refers to foreign stations. I'm not quite sure what the actual term DX stands for, but I am. DXCC is an award by the ARRL that if you get 100 different countries, you will get a DX certificate. So CC, of course, is 100, and DX is foreign. And as far as DX Expedition goes, it means that a group of people, a carrier like CARA in our town, which is the Candle Amateur Radio Company, say they go to a foreign country and they set up their radios. It would be a DX Exposition. They would be on a journey so that you could contact them in the foreign country. So that would be the DX Expedition.
Well, you're right on all categories. You know, on the DX, standing alone, it's basically typically considered as a contact with a station outside of your country. DXCC speaks for itself, an award for working 100 countries. You need to confirm this. You need to have QSL from your contacts so you're not padding the ledger. And then you get a nice certificate to hang up on the wall. DX Expeditions are normally seasoned amateurs that get together and they pack up their ditty bags and they pull some equipment together and they go off to some foreign location that is normally not very active. Rocks out in the middle of the Pacific or in the middle of the Atlantic or over in the European area that are classified as a separate DXCC listing, but don't ever have anybody that's a ham on there to operate. So they go to these locations and they set up for 2 or 3 days and they work the world and get everybody another contact for their contribution for their certificate.
But, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you being here tonight. We've enjoyed it thoroughly. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of new information as a new ham that I've learned, and some of our older hams have come up with some expert information. So how about ERP? This is the TNT Open Forum that we hold on every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2300 Zulu. Our topic this evening is ham jargon. So tell me, anyone know what ERP means? But it's called effective irradiated power. The power supplied to an antenna multiplied by the antenna gain in a given direction. So if the direction is not specified, the direction of the maximum gain is assumed. So ERP is effective radiated power. So the next jargon I have is called eyeball. Now, most of you know this. If it isn't from ham radio, you know it from maybe the corporate world, you know it from everyday life. What does eyeball mean?
Yeah, well, KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, and it sure be nice to put my eyeball on you, Miss Kathy.
Well, thank you, George, and that will be soon.
Well, thank you, Kathy, KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, and wouldn't mind put a eyeball on everyone connected. You know, and my understanding of the terminology is we'd like to see you. You know, and I've heard that for years and years and years, and like I said, it'd be nice to meet each individual personally there, and at least that's the way I look at it there, and so in my understanding is would like to personally meet each one of you there. So with that, I have already put my eyeball on you there, accepted you and a part of the family, so what can I say? We'll throw it back to you and let someone else pick it up and run with it. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to K6, SUM.
Thank you so much for that, George. Yes, I've put an eyeball on you as well, and I sure would have liked to have put an eyeball on you up in that tree.
WKD, in case I doubled. Yes, I would concur 100% with George. And eyeball means to lay eyes on, to see in person.
Well, you both are right, and it's not only in the ham world, it's in everyday life. Someone you want to have a contact with, a face-to-face meeting, speak one-on-one with them. It's called the eyeball. You know, you do it in your jobs, you do it with your family, you do it with friends. So both of you are absolutely correct, and hopefully one day, Jim, that will be what we can do too as well. But the next one I have is called FB. And you may not know this by just the two letters, but there is one of our NCSs out here that says that so often, and that is WA1NXI, who doesn't seem to be connected this evening, but it's one of his favorite statements. So is there anyone out there that knows what FB means? If so, we'd like you to come aboard, give us an explanation, just tell us what it means. And if not, I'll give you that clue, and then I'm going to throw it out to everyone listening and see where we want to go from here. So how about FB? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, again with KY6B and the TNT Open Forum. What does FB mean to you?
Sierra United.
Well, Suzanne, I figured there had to be someone else that has heard Mike do the net.
Well, good evening again, Kathy. And yes, I've enjoyed the net too, and I'm glad I was able to come aboard tonight. And when you mention Mike, WA1NXI, and his comments on FB, of course what comes to mind is fine business. And it's an acknowledgement of a positive to something someone says. And yes, it's a CW term, and it's a lot easier to say or to do that in code than do the whole thing. But back to you, and K6SUN.
Well, thank you, Susie, and that's absolutely correct.
I want to thank you very much for allowing me to be your co-host this evening. Thanks, Kathy. KY6B, back to you.
We did fine tonight. I thought it was a great session. Are there any comments out there?
One last question, I think. There was, I had a QSO with a station from the state. I think he's an old-timer on CW, of course, in the past. And we had a very good propagation. And he said to me, I got you armchair copy. It is another jargon. I think it's a jargon older than a boat anchor. Armchair copy. I think it's like a 599. He gave me a 599 first, and then
added the armchair copy. So I think you can explain me a bit more about that before I think I sign off the net. KY6B YB7X, over.
Oh, that's a grand question, Ricky. KY6B. Let me see how I can try to explain that to you. Armchair copy is just very comfortable. Yes, you're 599 as far as an official signal report would go. But it means that you are so loud and so clear that he doesn't have to get close to the speaker, does not have to bend over to try to understand what you're saying. So armchair copy means that you have a loud, blistering, outstanding signal. Over.
Okay, Roger. That I kind of guess that what it means. Okay, so it's a similar to fine business copy, solid copy then. Okay, understood. Okay, I learned a lot of jargon today. Thank you for allowing me to participate in this wonderful net. Okay, back to Miss Kathy. Thank you, Miss Kathy. This is YB7XO.
Well, thank you, everyone, and thanks so much, Ricky, YB7XO, for joining us. Your morning, our evening, and you're welcome anytime. So, Chris, final comments this evening. Thanks so much for being a participant this evening, listening to the net. Hope you enjoyed, and thanks for your comments.
See, as always, you guys did a great job out there tonight, and the one big comment is really a question, and it's a personal question. I think it's within the boundary of okay, good taste on amateur radio. I'm trying to be a little empathic tonight and sense the time, which I think is about 9:15 or close. And here's my question, Kat. It's a personal question for you and also for Gordon. Between the two of you, who gets up earlier in the morning? I think I could guess, but I had to ask the question. KB3ZQD, back to you, Kathy.
Well, Chris, Gordon is retired. He doesn't have to get up till later in the day if he doesn't want, but I teach school. I don't get up really as early as a lot of teachers do because my school teaches later or starts later, but I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that isn't probably that early. I used to give it 4, but I'll throw it out to Gordon and see what time he gets up, since you did that to both of us. But there are those of us out here listening. I'm sure John up in Alabama gets up a lot earlier, and George always gets up a lot earlier, but as far as Gordon and myself, I bet you I get up earlier. So KY6B, I hope you heard Chris's question, and maybe you have an answer for him, and I hope that you're there listening. KY6B, are you there, and can you come aboard?
Well, that sounds like an awful personal question to me. I'm just kidding, Chris. KY6B, I almost missed that, Tiger. I shouldn't walk away from the equipment when I know that you're coming up on frequency, because you always throw out the flavor. I had walked into the kitchen to grab something, and I was halfway back, but I did catch the question. Obviously, the answer, as Kathy explained, has got to be Kathy. I have always been a very early riser. You know, I retired from the broadcasting business, television, and I was always up at 5 o'clock in the morning. When I retired, it took me about 2 or 3 years to get out of that habit, and I wasn't sure that I was ever going to shake it. I can now comfortably sleep in to 9 o'clock in the morning and not bother me a bit. Chris, KY6V, over.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. But I must say, I get up at 6 o'clock on a normal evening. I can get home at 6 p.m. So, Suzanne, come aboard with your comments, your final comments, or any comments about the net. And thanks so much once again for being there.
Oh, hi, Kathy. This is N1SUZ, and I just wanted to thank you and Gordon, KY6V, for doing the net tonight. And it was a great net. I love ham jargon. There's so much out there to cover, and we all use this jargon and language when we're on the radio. It's really interesting to talk about it as well. And part two would be great. I totally encourage you guys, if you want to come back and do part two, that would be great. Which we're doing next week with antennas with Gordon, KY6V, which is going to be great, Matt. And this is N1SUZ, back to K6SUN.
Thank you, Suzanne, but my week is ending. I've got one more day a week of work, and then I have nets on Saturday. I'm doing a few of those. Actually, we have a brand new NCS that's taking his 15 minutes of fame during that first hour, and we're looking forward to that. But only one more day, and then I have a time to rest and relax, and no more vacation until sometime in November. But school's going rather well, and it's the weekend always makes it a lot nicer. Thanks so much for you being there and coming aboard. I want to thank everyone for being here, but I'm going to actually just quickly go over the schedule and close this evening's net. But I want to thank everyone once again for joining us. It was a very nice session of the TNT Open Forum. Gordon, I want to thank you for being my co-host, and it's always enjoyable when we can do this together, and it's so much fun. And it's not only me talking, and you have such, you don't like me saying expert advice or knowledge, but you do. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on our website, voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been twofold. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Gordon's is KY6V. Saying 73 to one and all, I am now closing the South Cars TNT Open Forum and returning the server to Wrangler Amateur Traffic. Everyone have a fantastic rest of the evening, rest of the week. Join us this weekend if your time and schedule permit. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Name is Kathy, saying bye-bye for now.